It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520
KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And if you were just tuning in right now, we have Chef Alex Hitz on, and his book is The Beverly Hills Kitchen. And really, it's Southern dishes with a European French twist and in his Beverly Hills Kitchen. So, you know, we were talking about that fried chicken on that silver platter, and you were saying that it is the best. I have to ask you, so what, I mean, do you use... what do you use? Tell us, what's the recipe?
Well, first of all, it's dipped twice in the crust. So it goes to a dry, it's dipped in the dry mix, and then it's dipped in the wet mix, and then it's dipped in the dry again, and then shaken. Okay, so that's a whole, it's this major crust thing that goes
right
on. The eggs and milk have got onions and garlic in them, which I don't think any fried chicken in the history of the world ever had that in there.
Mm.
And it soaks in there. You know, for a while. It does not soak for 24 hours in buttermilk.
Which, I was going to ask you.
I tested that, and I tried it, but nobody cared. I mean,
right.
It was not, this was so good that nobody cared at all. You know what I'm saying?
Alex, yeah. Is it buttermilk, though, that you do cook with?
No, it says milk.
Sometimes no.
Oh, okay. Because my husband's grandmother used to make it, and oh my gosh, buttermilk was
amazing.
So
it's the seasoning of the flour mixture and then the seasoning of the milk. That makes the big difference, and then the frying, actual frying, probably.
So that every single piece of it has got flavor, you know, every single.
And what do you fry? What kind of oil do you use to fry?
Well, I use Wesson oil actually. It works out the best.
Huh. Hmm. Yum.
And now, what about your corn pudding? Yum.
That's Wilbur Queen corn.
Oh
pudding.
My gosh, that's like one of my favorites.
It is a custard, and it's cooked so slowly in the oven. I mean, when I say slowly, it's on 300 degrees instead of on 400 or 450, or you know what I mean, because you can't overcook a custard. It has to be really
custard, silky
and luscious. Otherwise, you're going to have some bad scrambled eggs.
Okay. So are all your recipes, do you think, I mean, anybody can do it? It's
easy? Absolutely. If you, and what I will say about my recipes is please make sure and follow them to a T. Use exactly what I do, and don't get creative. Just do them as I did them, because I tested them all so many times with these recipes tested that I can't guarantee that they're good unless you do them exactly as I said.
You know, I find that true. Any recipe you use, you should do it the first time exactly how it's written.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you can always change it to your own specifications. But if you don't do it the first time the way it's written, sometimes the actual chemistry of the recipe changes.
Well, I mean, how do you know? There are lots of recipes that I can read and tell you right now they're not going to work or not taste good. I can tell you that by looking at them.
Right.
Well, Alex, how long have you been cooking?
Oh, my God, all my life.
Really?
All
and
my it, life.
And what, your mom, your dad?
22 years of my life.
Yeah. I like it.
I love this. You've got some recipes in here. I just like this chicken country captain, which is, I guess, a soup, a very hearty-looking soup.
It's not. It's like it's a stew. It's
a
not
stew.
A soup.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it looks great.
It's like a chicken curry dish that's got rice in it.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, even better. Even better.
Awesome. It's like this old-time Southern dish that I went back and reinvented.
Unbelievable.
It's like an awesome, awesome
so
thing.
When what is your dish that people ask the most for?
You know, we talked about that heirloom tomato pie earlier. Ugh. I will also say that salted caramel cake is something they really love.
Tell us about that. Salted caramel cake. That's sweet and salty. Yum.
It's a six-layer cake, and, you know, it's like you serve that and they go insane. They go totally nuts. Everybody loves fried chicken. They love my chicken curry. They love
chicken
country captain.
Oh, this perfect roast tenderloin of beef.
They love that. They love that.
That crust looks phenomenal.
These recipes are all sort of what I would call greatest hits or crowd pleasers. I mean, everybody seems to really respond to these things when I serve them, and I do a lot. So, you know, that's sort of how we got this. I mean, some of them came from my restaurant. There's a pecan-crusted salmon with, you know, with either a dill butter or a sauce gribiche that's so easy it takes about 5 seconds to do. And, you know, it's just all over the map for what these dishes are. But all of them, people really tend to absolutely love.
Now, do you still have a restaurant?
No more.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, you want to just
stay curiosity satisfied for that.
There you go.
Exactly.
And now, who do you cook for? I mean, are you married?
No.
Okay, so do you cook
at
home?
You got any ideas?
Absolutely, absolutely. So do you love to invite people over and cook?
I do. I entertain at home all the time.
I love it. There's nothing better than that, to share your great food.
Well, you can always come and cook for me.
Absolutely.
Okay, you're on. Absolutely.
Man, alive. Well, and where do we find your book?
Okay, my book is at Amazon.com. That's the easiest thing to do. It's also at Barnes & Noble. It's at Book Soup in Los Angeles, and it's all over independent bookstores. You know, so many, too many to name. But it's there we go. Amazon, Book Soup, Barnes & Noble, and all over the independent bookstores.
Great Christmas
gift. You know, I
Christmas
have to get
gift.
This for my husband.
Yeah. Great Christmas gift.
He loves Southern food, and he would love me to.
And then we were just talking about.
This is taken to a level that Southern food has never been before, I'm going to say modestly.
Now, I'm trying to find, in the very back when I was looking up your chicken recipe, I saw a sideline of Julia Childs, and I was trying to find her in here because I knew her from a different point of view. I'm a florist, and I did a couple big parties that she was part of. And
well, she was my buddy.
She was the most gracious woman I have ever met.
She was the best. And she came to my restaurant, and I served her a very simple, you know, Southern barbecue dinner, and she said that my strawberry cobbler was the best strawberry dessert she's ever had in her life.
Wow.
You know, I did a party for a restaurant in Orange County, and met her, and then she sat and talked to me for half an hour. She was like 83 years old. Or 80-something years old. And then 4 years later, I saw her. I had a different color hair. I had blonde hair to begin with. Then I had red hair. And she remembered my name 4 years later.
She was lovely. She was absolutely lovely.
I mean, I was blown away.
Now, Alex, what about okra? Do you have any good recipes in there for
okra? No, it's not. That's Southern food that's not a part of my...
It isn't. That's interesting.
I'm not an okra person.
This is not the kind of Southern food that... people
very upscale.
Yeah,
I like it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a pleasure, and
thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And next time we're gonna have you in so you can cook for us.
You're on. That'd be fun.
You
okay,
got
good.
It.
Thanks,
all right.
Thanks. So
you have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
That was Chef Alex Hitz and his book, The Beverly Hills Kitchen. Oh my God. Are you ladies hungry?
Yes. I gotta explain what this caramel cake looks like because it's like seven layers of. Like, it looks like a vanilla cake with layers of caramel in between.
Oh.
And this frosting that, I mean, I just
that
don't even know. I'd have a diabetic coma over the whole thing. I would eat the whole darn thing.
You know what's interesting is not only can he do fried chicken, but he can also bake.
You know? I know. I mean, usually that's a two different
yeah,
deal.
That's usually
yeah, you're
two
right.
different people. So it's interesting. And it's like
it's
so
a great
young.
Book.
So young.
Well, he's not that young.
I know. 20. Yeah.
But he's a handsome man, and he looks very young.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyway.
So, and you know, isn't it? Now, Sharon, do you like to cook?
I love cooking. I've been cooking since I was 15.
Yeah.
And I love to do dinner parties.
What's your specialty?
Desserts.
Oh, so you're more
oh, really?
Of a baker.
You're a baker?
Oh, mm. Okay.
And when I was married, the interesting thing is my ex is very conscious of his weight. And yet I could make desserts with full fat, full cream, full everything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
he would, you know.
Just
in,
eat a little of it?
It didn't have to be. Yeah, he would just eat it. That was his thing that he would allow himself.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But I do everything. I mean, I cook food, I bake, I do desserts.
Now,
yeah,
do you ever do baking for other people for the holidays? What about that?
Well, I used to bake. First of all, I went through a stage where I baked cakes, birthday cakes for people, so I'd love to do the decorating and stuff like that. And then I went through a stage where I was baking gifts for my kids' teachers. And the one thing that caught on was I make these shortbread cookies.
Mm.
So my daughter, one of the tins didn't get to a teacher. It got to her friends.
She was disappointed.
No. So now her friends ask for the shortbread cookies for their birthdays. Like they request my shortbread
That's
cookies.
So cute. Well, I used to, when I was younger in my teens, my mom, I loved to bake when I was a kid. And so that would be my present to my mother for Christmas. I would make all of her friends cookies, and I'd make like 27 different kinds of cookies in 3 days.
Mm.
And then
How long would that take? 3 days?
3 days.
To make. Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to put some of the doughs in the refrigerator. So I'd make all the refrigerator doughs one day and put them in the refrigerator. And then I would be making other things as I was baking the things that were in the refrigerator. And then, anyway, it took me 3 days. So, and then she would pack them up and give them to all her friends. And that worked out really well for a long time for her. But then now I do it, but I don't like to have the cookies in my house. And frankly, my husband likes chocolate and chocolate chip cookies. He really doesn't like anything else. And so my kids like them, but so I bake a lot, but we have a huge bake thing sale at church every year, and I just give them all to that.
Right. I think that's
so. I have 2 or 3 days of baking, and then I give them away so they're not in the house because I'm the one that eats them. Yeah. Everybody else eats one or two, and then I'll, every time I walk by, nibble. So if I don't have them there, I'm better off.
Now, do you think that for people that don't bake, it's funny because both of my daughters now do. And I think I did it when they were little, but then it just took too much time. I'm like one of those throw a meal together, and not always listen to exactly the recipe. But obviously, when I cook out of that book, I will
Well, just do it the first time and then you can do it any way you want.
You know what? The interesting thing is, and I'm in this house that has a very small oven. So I don't like that because I can't put my big pots, my big sheets and things like that in.
Like
so
a big
it cuts
industrial,
down the
yes.
time of,
cooking.
But other than that,
and
I love the kitchen.
And you need to know your ovens.
You need to know your oven.
That's
There's
a
no
big
question.
Thing.
Especially when you're baking. When you're cooking, not.
Right.
Well,
I mean, it's not
depends.
As important.
Right.
But when
I'm a very lucky person. I have 3 ovens, but I have 1 electric oven and 2 gas ovens, and really you need to bake in an electric oven if you have a choice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's a dry heat, where versus a gas oven is a wet heat, and so baking in a dry heat works better. That's why I put 1 of each anyway.
And with baking, too, I mean, you really need to know, do you put it on the top shelf? Do you put it on the middle shelf? What is your oven do? So it's a little bit of trial and error at the beginning.
Is the back of your oven hotter than the front of your
oven?
And do you need to turn your cookies around, or will it, Yeah, all that stuff.
I think we're talking about a cooking show here.
Yeah. Well, baking is very scientific.
It really
you
is.
You cannot not, if you really do need to go buy a recipe for baking. You can add chocolate chips or nuts or something else, but it's the difference between baking soda and baking powder and salt and how that affects it different and unsalted butter versus salted butter and all that stuff. It all plays into the actual taste.
You know, how much you're filling the cookie cup. Right. Are you filling it halfway? Are you filling it
how
to the
much
top?
You stir a batter.
Right.
Makes a big difference.
Right.
Whether you use an electric mixer, because I hand stir certain kinds of batters and then other batters
I'll you learn your baking from?
I don't know. Trial and error, probably, but I always love to bake. And I used to love The Galloping Gourmet.
That
show.
You just dated yourself
in South Africa.
Yeah. Yes. When we were young, I'm 50 years old, but when we were young, I used to pretend I was The Galloping Gourmet. And I'd watch the show, then I'd go in the kitchen at 15, 13, 12 and make exactly what he made.
I love it.
I just love that show.
Well, I had an aunt that I lived with. Unfortunately, she's no longer here, but she was the most unbelievable baker and cook. She would make Christmas cakes, birthday cakes, wedding cakes, and do all of the decorations and everything. And then I have a stepmother who also always has baked goods in her house, always cooks.
My grandmother, when she was here, she would be amazing. And not only that, she presentation was everything.
Yes.
She had to have a doily underneath
it. Yes, yes.
And
we grew up like that too, absolutely.
But it was interesting. When I was in Portugal, just like a boiled apple. Have you ever boiled an apple with ice cream at the side of it and a pastry?
Well, it's usually
it's not boiled.
It's baked.
I love it. I haven't done it.
No, it's
baked.
It's parched. No, it isn't. Parched. No. It's now I'm going to forget it. It's it's usually simmered in wine or a juice or something.
It's kind of
But orange juice.
Poached.
Poached. Well, that's what I said. Yeah, it's poached.
But, Kim, I was going to say that earlier when we were talking to the chef, is that presentation is huge. I always cut oranges, put them around a salad bowl. Take oranges, take flowers, edible flowers, cut up vegetables and decorate the plate. Because I always say it doesn't matter what you put on the plate.
It doesn't.
But if you decorate the plate,
have
a nice dish that you put something into, with the flowers. Right. I mean, it's really the little touch that can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
It really is. And when you're bringing, all these parties that you go to and you want to bring something, a potluck or any of that, it's all about
cut oranges and put it around the dish. If it's a food dish or a baked or a dessert or a salad, you can do that. Or even with baked goods, you can put a little bit of icing sugar on top, or even just decorating the plate around Yes.
Right. I just want to say, don't buy cheap ingredients.
Yeah.
Ingredients are everything when you bake.
And
yeah. So
yeah.
You're absolutely right. Buy good sugar, buy good flour, good, you know, everything.
Even tomatoes.
Tomato, anything you're going to
use. You know,
use,
in the can, it's, there's
buy
a
the
difference.
Better tomato. Yeah,
know.
Exactly.
It really makes a difference.
San Marino is, I think, the brand I like of tomatoes. But you really need to just spend a little, make less and spend a little bit more on the ingredients. It makes a huge difference.
It really does. I was going to ask you guys, what about mint and chocolate?
I don't know.
I'll have to think
about
it. We do have our next guest. We're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to talk about regifting. And we've got Vicki Oliver, who's going to help us. You know, there's times that you get something from people, and you love it. You're gracious that you got it, but it's not what you know. Maybe it doesn't fit, or you can't use it, but somebody else can. And we're going to find out, is that tacky or is that not? So stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We'll be right back.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair. And I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair. And she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally. On News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And we were talking just even between us, regifting. Is it tacky or is it not? You know, Tom was just telling us a couple of little stories that you got to want to check it, right?
Yeah, so. You got to check there's no note in
it. Somewhere.
And you haven't been holding on to your candy for a while, you know. So anyways, let's bring Vicki on. Vicki Oliver, Six Ways to Regift is her book. And Vicki, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, you know, is it tacky or is it not?
I think it depends. If you show no thought when you regift, then it's terribly tacky.
Okay. So, when
it's obvious to the person and you haven't told them, it's tacky.
Okay, I'm going to tell you my story. My mother passed away a few years ago, and she gave me a necklace, and she gave it to me before she died, and it was a very expensive necklace my dad had bought for her. But my sister-in-law loved that necklace. And so when my mother passed away, I decided I'd give it to her. But I did tell her.
Right.
You know, my mom gave this to me, but really, I know you've always loved it, and it was something you loved of my mother's.
See, now, to me, that's
so
meaningful.
I want you to have it.
Right. That is the perfect way to regift.
And so,
because then the person who receives it really understands that the person giving it to them is thinking about them. Like they are showing, you know, consideration, and in that case, doing something that the person who's passed away would have really loved.
Right.
So that's beautiful.
That's a perfect giveaway. I think that's exactly. And, you know, it almost means more because I cherish it, but I know you have always loved this, and I want you to have it. Right. Beautiful. So tell us a little bit about your book and how you got started.
Okay, well, first of all, the book is actually called The Millionaire's Handbook.
Oh, okay.
How to Look and Act Like a Millionaire Even If You're Not. Budgeting tips like this are throughout the book. I mean, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of tips. You know, the regifting is only one of the things you're going to find there. But, you know, it's the holidays. And we're all sort of, I mean, you know, we feel very pressed. We want to give people gifts that are meaningful, but a lot of us don't have huge budgets.
Right.
And in that situation, you know, if you receive a gift and you don't think that you can use it, I mean, it's great to think about somebody else who would benefit. And, for example, I don't drink champagne. Right? So over the years, I've received literally hundreds of bottles of champagne. Right? And I mean, instead of throwing them out, I mean, I try to repurpose them. I try to give them, you know, to somebody else, like people who love champagne, but I always tell them, I always say, I received this gift and I want you to have it because I know you love champagne.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, but then do you do it just as a general, I'm giving you a gift, or is it a gift specifically, like would it be a birthday gift or a Christmas gift or a...
Well, I give it, let's say, if the person is giving like a party or something like that, I would bring them, you know, bottles of champagne and pink champagne also that I've received. You know, it's a gift that I'm giving them over the holidays.
Right.
You know, I feel like it's a general principle, though. Like, it depends, you know, we all get gifts that we just can't use and we don't like for whatever reason, you know? And I think the first tendency is always to try to sort of toss the gift and forget about it. And that's just really a misuse of a present that somebody else could use.
Right.
Well, and so, you know, if for anybody that's just joining us right now, we have Vicki Oliver, and you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And so your book is The Millionaire's Handbook, correct?
Yes. How to Look and Act Like a Millionaire, Even If You're Not.
Okay. And so what are all the different things that we're going to find in? I know we're talking about regifting right now, but what else is in there?
Oh, within the book? Yeah, it talks about how to save money on clothing, you know, how to save money on style. I mean, it just goes through, like, all the different ways how somebody could, you know, sort of up their game but without upping their budget.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what else can we use in your book for the holidays right now?
Well, for example, when it comes to buying clothing and other items for ourselves, I talk in the book about, you know, swapping with friends of yours. I mean, we all buy so many things for ourselves, and then like 6 months later, we're tired of them. We're bored, you know?
We're bored
of the clothes that we bought for ourselves. And the book talks about swapping till you drop, throwing clothes swapping parties where people literally can swap items that they've gone sick of with others.
You know, my daughter just did this with all her teenage friends.
I was going to say that, Manda, too.
And the funny part was she comes home and goes, Mom, my clothes were coveted. She goes, everybody took my stuff.
That's right. They took her stuff.
My daughter does the same thing, and she's doing it with books. She's doing it with clothes.
I think that's great because, you know what, I think in our era, we were afraid, what if somebody didn't like it? Or
right.
What if, I mean, you know, and so if our kids are thinking, you know, I mean, I think that's a great idea. Our local schools just said that they needed jackets, right? And so when your kids grow out of those, what do you do with them? I'm going to take them all down to the local school. But, you know, if somebody else can use them, I think it's perfect. So, and you know, even like younger kids, when, you know, like if your kids were younger and you would hand them down to them, I've always done that.
Well, you know, I think that because people think there's a stigma attached to it.
Right.
But there's not. If you throw a party and you say, okay, everybody just bring an item that you don't like anymore that's still in good condition.
Right.
And let's just swap it. I mean, it's particularly appropriate for certain things like sweaters, scarves, hats.
Right. And now, you know, you have to package it, though, right? Correct?
Yes. I believe, you know, honesty really does amount to the best policy. I mean, you want to tell people, bring something that you you don't like but is still in good condition, and we'll swap it. And it also makes it fun. You're getting new old clothes.
Right.
Right. I have a ladies, meeting that I put together, a support group. And I think that that's so much fun.
Right.
To have everybody bring something that maybe that they're not exactly in love with anymore. But obviously they loved it enough to buy it.
Right.
And so then they can share it with other people. And, you know, it's interesting when somebody else goes, seriously, you don't love this anymore? I'll totally take it. You know, and so I think that that's a great way. So what are some of the other ways to regift?
Well, I think if you think in terms of people's color palettes, what they like, you always do pretty well. Like, for example, let's say you receive something that's purple. Let's say it's a scarf, for the sake of argument. Well, maybe you don't really like the color purple so much. You know, maybe it just doesn't do anything for you. But there's another friend of yours who's always wearing purple everything. Then to, you know, either store it for a while to give it to that person when the appropriate time comes up, or just give it to her now, you know, give it to her for the holidays.
Right, right. You know, it's sometimes it's so hard to know what other people like. And when you're trying, I'm one of those, I like to get the perfect gift. I'm not one that just walks out and buys anything.
Right.
That's just not me. So it's really when I give of myself, I'm really giving something that I really thought a lot about.
Right.
And you know, but there's not everybody's like that. Sharon, are you like that?
I am like that. And it drives me insane.
I know.
And I find it really hard because I'm always looking for what the perfect thing is and I'm agonizing about it.
And you really have to know the person in order to be able to buy them a gift.
You do. You have to know the person, and you also have to really think about the person, like think about what their hobbies are, what their interests are, you know, so that you can hopefully get it right. And even with all that thought involved, a lot of us don't get it right, you know?
Right, and that's why there's regifting.
Right.
And for anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Vicki Oliver. And her book is going to make us look like millionaires as we're regifting, correct?
Don't do what I did when
I
was young.
What?
We're really young. I was about, I don't know how old, 6, 7. We regifted pajamas, and I sat there in front of everybody and said,
what?
I don't like these pajamas. I'm giving them to you for your birthday.
That's hysterical. That is so funny.
Oh.
But, you know, the other thing is, I mean, sometimes, you know, we wear things that are sort of experimental for us. And somebody, you know, you go out with somebody and they love it. They love that item, you know. And, I mean, if you really pay attention and let's say it's
right.
a scarf, you could say, you know what, I don't really like it that much. It's yours.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I mean, this is really great. And now, were you ever gifted something that you didn't love?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, the story you were telling when I first got on, I mean, that happened to me. I had a birthday, and somebody brought me a present. And as I was opening the present, a card tumbled out of it. And it was to them. You know, it was to them. It was this couple. And that was just so strange. And I mean, for me, like later I wrote them a thank you note, like knowing that it was really just something that they just regifted. And I would say, you know, rewrap the gift. Because you don't want something like
that
to
happen. Want to make sure that. Now, what about, you know, a lot of us get candies and wine and that kind of stuff throughout
right.
the year. And, you know, you want to take another bottle of wine to some party or you want to take candy. How long is it really lasting?
Well, wine usually improves in
yeah.
age. So I don't think you have to worry about that. I mean, for me, the problem with regifting candy is just, I mean, I really feel like candy should be eliminated over the holidays. I mean, we're all trying to watch our weight, you know?
Right.
To me, even giving candy, regifted or not, almost borders on sort of thoughtless.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a big, like, oh, let's bake cookies and give cookies to every single person either for the same reason. It's just, you know, everybody's watching their weight over the holidays.
Definitely.
So I feel like it almost shows a lack of thought.
Right.
To do that.
So, Vicki, what are some of the top gifts that you can, regift?
I think anything that you received as an item, as in the example of somebody died and left something really beautiful to you, and it reminds you of somebody, it doesn't remind you of you, you know? It reminds you of somebody, you think, honestly, somebody would love it. I think that is beautiful. Like, anything that doesn't lose color or fade with time. Like, objects sort of make good regifts. let's say somebody gives you candlesticks, okay? You have 50,000 candlesticks. You don't need any more candlesticks in your home. That makes a good present.
Got it. Okay.
You know, certain clothing items that I feel, you know, are not too intimate. Like, I think scarves are sometimes work. I think hats and accessories can work very, very well. I think scarves can work. You know, it just depends. Like, you're just thinking of the other person and what they like to wear.
But, you know, isn't it true, like, how many more candlesticks can you possibly get? I love candles, but candlesticks.
Right.
Or picture frames.
Right.
Okay.
Picture frames.
Yeah. That, what do you do with that?
I think if you inquire, if you say to somebody, you know, I just got this great pair of silver candlesticks, but I already have 3 pair of them in my home. I really actually don't need any more. Do you want them?
Right. And if they go, no, I already have, right,
eight.
Then you just
I
keep
I already them. Have eight.
Right.
Get, no. So I think, you know, that's where it comes down to, like, you say, okay, that person gives a lot of parties. They give a lot of dinner parties. Maybe they would like it. And I think to ask.
Right.
And then, you know, be prepared for them to say no. That's fine.
And you want to know something that's interesting is, you know, a long time ago, we used to be, in my age level, okay, is we used to like antiques. Our younger generation do not like antiques. They don't like clutter. They
right.
want, I mean, it's really changed.
Right.
And so when you're handing down all this stuff, they don't want it anymore.
Right.
So where do you go with that?
Right. I mean, you know, ultimately, if you can't find the perfect home for a gift, because that's what I think of it as, finding
right.
a home for a gift. And if you really can't, then I think you're compelled to really try to give it to a charity
right.
that will take it. At least, you know, you can get a charitable discount, you know, and you've done something good, and they can resell it to somebody who will want it, you know, for a fraction of the cost. So that's always something to keep in mind, you know, which charities accept, you know, clothing and which ones accept objects and things like that.
Right. And my last thing is, what about gift cards?
I think you should always give a gift card with every gift, whether it's regifted or not. And actually, it's a great opportunity because the whole point of giving anything is really to express gratitude to that person. So to say, oh, you know, it really means so much to me to spend the holidays with you, you know, so happy to be here. Thank you so much. Something like that.
And what about hostess gifts?
I think you should give them. I mean, I'm all for it.
Right, right.
I think you should try to give them. With hostess gifts, you know, if somebody's giving a party, for example, I don't think you have to be that original with the gift.
Right.
I think if you just bring something that contributes, like the wine or the champagne or something that contributes to the party.
Right.
What I
if
think
you
you're
take
fine.
What if you're taking food? If you're taking a dish, like you're making a dessert or a fruit salad or whatever, do you still need to take a gift as a hostess gift?
No, I think just bringing the food itself is enough.
Is your gift. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
well.
I feel like if we, you know, just, like, think a little more about each gift, I think it's just better. And, you know, don't think in terms of quantity, just, like, what is the right gift.
Right.
I love it. Right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we are talking about regifting, but we're talking about the Millionaire Handbook, and that was is Vicki Oliver. Where do we find that book?
It's on Amazon, or if you want more information about it, you could go to my website, which is VickiOliver.com, and it's Vicki with a Y.
Okay, perfect. Well, I think, you know what, you've answered some really great questions, and I think, you know, you never know what you're going to bring or what you're going to bring. So you can have a whole, you know, like a closet where you keep stuff and see, oh, this has got
right.
Sharon's name on it.
That's
right.
Right.
There
idea.
You go. All right. Well,
that's
thank you so idea. Much, Vicki. Happy holidays. And thanks for some great tips.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Well, we have Alicia Hoffman from you're the community editor from Parent Click.
Yeah.
And so you've got some great things that are going on in Ventura that you want to share with everybody. Right?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here.
We got some great things going. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So tell us about your website, first of all.
Okay. Well, ParentClick.com is an online resource center and county guide for families in Ventura County with children ages 0 to 18, so prenatal all the way up through college applications. What we do is we gather all the information you need, like clubs, classes, after-school ed, activities, events, sports registrations, all that, and put it in one spot so you don't have to look all over the place for it or rely on word of mouth. It's there for you when you need it.
Right. You know, I mean, have you, when your kids were little, your kids are older now a little bit, right? I mean, do you
14
still,
and 18.
Yeah, 14 and 18. Okay, so 18. It's funny, my one son is 18, and I still have my 16-year-old. But, you know, I have older, so I've already been through it. But it's so, there's nothing better than to go, is this normal? Is this, who do I ask? Where do I find support, right?
Exactly.
So and I think it's really a great.
Each of the newsletters that we send out on Thursdays have a theme. Like this week's is going to be winter camp, sports, and holiday guide. Next week will be last minute shopping for those difficult people to buy for.
There you go. And I love last week was manners because, you know, I think that's something we really need to talk about with our children. You know, so many times then I know I'm sure my parents are going to hear when I'm talking about this is, you know, they buy for the kids and they're like, we didn't even get a thank you. They didn't even call me and say anything. And you're like, you know, you have to develop your own relationship with them. But, I try to tell them that, but it doesn't feel good because we all want to be thanked when we get something.
And then say to them, you know, because you'll say to the kids, say thank you or send a text or pick up the phone or write a card. And their little brains are so overloaded that they're already off to the, yes, I'll do it in half an hour. And then they've forgotten about it because they've got so much going on.
So do you think that it's the parents? Do you think that I always made my kids responsible? But I wonder if it's until they get 18, we should, here's a card, signed your name, and it's done. Because we're instilling it in them.
Well, I'll say to them over and over, pick up the phone. You need to do this. And at the end of the day, if the person's upset that they haven't done that, I just had a situation like this, I think that it's up to them to, if they have a relationship with a kid, to turn around and go, you know what, I really like it when you say thank you to me.
Right.
It makes me feel good when you thank me for, you know, you develop the relationship with the child.
And
I do believe that. If the child's so important to you in your life, then there's, you know,
express your feelings,
ask for what you need.
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of going through that. My son just turned 7, so we had all the Christmas gift or birthday gifts. They keep running together for me.
Right.
And we're sitting down now and making him go through, you know, and write out the thank you notes to grandma and grandpa.
I think that's so good. And there's a lot of notes that are already written pretty much. All they have to do is write their name.
Jared's bar mitzvah. We had all of these thank you notes and 1 week went by and the next week went by. And then at the end of it, I literally, you know, had it was all printed up and all he had to do was sign his name. I mean,
Think it starts with the parents though?
I think it does.
Yeah, because I think, you know, and sometimes, you know, I forget. Is a verbal the same as a written? What's your thought on that?
I think that it's lovely to have the written, but I don't think anyone has time anymore. I think that they're too overloaded.
But there is a book that some man wrote. I think it's 365 thank yous. And, you know, people that you just don't. I mean, it is nice to get it in the mail. Thank you so much for thinking
about
me.
But I also know people that get really upset when that doesn't happen.
Yes.
You know, get on with it. But then that goes back to your language of love, Kim. That goes back to the things that are really important to you. So figuring out to one person it's going to be really important, to another it's not.
Exactly. And I think that kind of determines how you say the thank you. I think for their friends, a verbal or a text or an email or something like that is fine. But when you're talking your grandparents, when you're talking, you know, people of the older generation who are used to getting thank you notes, and it really means something. It's something they save. It's something they care about.
Right.
So I think it's important that you distinguish who you're giving it to as well.
Right, definitely. So what's going on around here in Ventura now that we're in the month of December and, you know, all the... And Hanukkah's early this year.
The 8th it starts.
I know.
Yes, it is.
Last year it was right around Christmas, so go figure.
Yeah. We have a lot of the different Hanukkah celebrations listed on our website. Again, like you said, they start this weekend all the way, you know, with several different menorah lightings. There's one at the Pacific View Mall. There's one at downtown Camarillo, different places throughout the county. Just check onto our website and you'll see those. We've got Camarillo Christmas Parade this weekend.
It's on
Las Posas in Camarillo. And then afterward, they have the Christmas Village that lasts up until 2:00 today. So, and then we have the BMX track opened. So that's good to go this weekend. They were scheduled to...
Today. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. They were scheduled to open last weekend, and it was postponed till this weekend, so they're all open and ready to go.
Where is the BMX track?
That is over by the Aquatic Center.
Oh, so there's actually hills and...
Yes.
Really? Oh, yeah. God. My kids all have a need for
speed. So what age is that for? Because...
You know, I have friends who have 6 and 7 year olds that do it, and on the learning stages.
Not my 18 year old.
No, it goes all the way up.
Does it? I would say, yeah. Like, how do you distinguish a 3 year old and your 18 year old, right? And there, I mean, safety wise, I always wonder, right?
Because I was going to do that for his birth. I remember I said, "Oh, I wanted to do the racing for his. He's turning 18.
That's right.
And I asked him. I said, "Do you want to do that?" And he went, "No, I'm going to go skiing with my friends. They've got a house.
He wants
in
to go to Big Bear or something.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. So they have different." Clinics and things like that for kids of different ages. So they offer a good variety and safety instruction and all that stuff too.
Oh, good.
So the Camarillo Ranch House through the 19th will be doing their Christmas with Santa, where they have the house all decorated for the holidays, and they have live music, carolers, handmade wooden toys, and cookies and punch for everybody, as well as pictures with Santa.
There you go.
I just want to say one thing, that you offer so many things that don't cost a lot of money.
Yes.
And often it's hard to come up and be creative, you know, with about things to do with your children. So that's what I love about the Parent Click, is that, you know, sometimes you'll think, oh, what am I going to do with the kids this weekend?
Look
and
on their
just
website.
Looking on the website, you know, it's not, you don't have to spend a lot of money to do a lot of these things.
Yeah, and we try to make sure that we list things in a variety of income levels so that everybody can participate. And we're lucky to live in Ventura County, where there's so much free for everybody in the county and community events.
There is so many free things, I'm telling you, yeah. So what else?
The Parade of Lights tonight. They've been doing their Snow Play Festival today, and at 7 o'clock tonight, they'll be having the tour of the lighted boats in the harbor.
That is always Channel fun, Island. But it is freezing. You know, it's
easy. Wear warm jackets.
There you go.
Yeah.
And the Rubicon Theater Company has some upcoming shows, Little Miss Scrooge.
Oh.
I don't have the dates on top of my head, but those are on the website, and they also have a holiday concert coming up.
I love the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
I have to be honest. I love when I drive around and I see the pretty lights.
Now, do you have a ton of parties that you both go to? How do you, I mean, you know, when you have a couple parties on one night, what do you do?
Well, with the kids, I have to get a sitter, so I don't go to a whole
That's
lot of parties.
Hard,
but
right.
Do one
you
of
invite
things,
friends over? I remember when my kids were little, and we would all be like, okay, we're all going to your house, or that, you know.
Doesn't happen that way anymore. Now my kids are gone.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
One of the traditions that we do is we live near the historic district in Oxnard, and they always have the Christmas tree lane with all the lights and everything. And so we walk down. We have a group of people over at our house, usually on Christmas Eve, and we walk down and we enjoy the lights and stuff, and then we come back to the house for hot chocolate or drinks and conversation.
There you go. So. We actually, I started this years ago with one of my neighbors, and she actually kind of made it into her business and took it over, which is fine. But we always invited Santa Claus to come to our home.
Yeah.
And everybody would bring a gift, right? And then Santa Claus would be able to give all the kids their gifts, one gift there. And then everybody would bring, I mean, we had hundreds of people there. And then we got a big truck. We put hay all around it. And we went around we went around the neighborhood and went caroling.
That's a lot of fun.
So we've got that coming up. But, you know, it's...
Do kids still do that?
They still do That's it fun. Because it's something that I started. And we have all the pictures with Santa Claus, you know. And that's something that they still look forward to it.
My parents, when we were growing up, they had the same Santa Claus come every year up until we were in high school. And it was a friend of the family. And, you know, by the time we got older, we understood that, you know, he had a helper. And it was a lot of fun, and they were really good friends of the family.
There you go. You know, it was interesting when I was in Portugal, one of the dads of the racers, he had the big white beard, and I said, "You look like Santa Claus." And my kids were like, "Oh my God, Mom, that's so embarrassing. I can't believe people would think that," but they wouldn't say it.
Right.
And so, you know, and he was like, he kind of smiled, and I was like, "Oh, God, did I say something wrong?" Right? So just at the end of the race, he showed me a picture. He was dressed up as Santa
That's
Claus.
Funny.
I was like, "I knew." And he goes, "I just didn't want to let the secret out why all the kids were here." But he was a perfect. And so, you know what? They come in all different shapes and sizes.
Well, in South Africa, our year starts in January. So our school ends in December. So that period is December vacation. where we're all over the place. Now, being Jewish, we didn't celebrate Christmas,
right.
Although our birthdays are all in December.
Yeah, you're right there with me.
But Hanukkah, I don't even remember really celebrating it, not on the scale that it is here.
Right. No,
you know, with the lights and the clothes. And the.
Now, what about Santa Claus Lane? Now, did they have something like that up in Ventura? Because I lived in, I'm the Valley girl,
Candy
right?
Candy Cane Lane.
I love Candy Cane Lane. That, yeah.
You know, I'm still trying to find out where all the lights are going this year.
Yeah.
I know last year the Ventura Spaghetti Company did a dessert menu for the holidays, and then they also offered on their placemats a list of the lights that were going on in the county. I don't know if they're doing that this year. I haven't heard from them yet. But
It's always fun to see. You know, we kind of have the Halloween house that is decked out, and our whole block is decked out. And so, but for Christmas, I decorate.
There was a house on Sunset Boulevard that we always used to go to, this huge house, and they used to do Halloween and they would do Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. Used to always go and look
at that
house.
I think it's so nice when people take that extra time to really deck it out. My husband does not like it at all, you know. But there's people that for every holiday, they have, you know, their tablecloths, their bathroom, every room. My next door neighbor. I bet you she just moved to Ventura. I bet you she has everything.
And it's kind of a gift to the whole community to put your lights up and let people enjoy them. It's a lot of fun.
It is, yeah. Now, so tell us, you said your next, or this next week's...
the newsletter, it's a winter camp guide and sports registrations and holidays. So we're listing a lot of the camps that are available for kids over winter break. Some of those include the Discovery Center Tinkering Zone up in Thousand Oaks is going to have be open during that time. Exploring science through hands-on experiments, making electrified jewelry, Play-Doh creations that light up, building robots, marble machines, all kinds of fun stuff. Ventura County Fusion has a soccer camp that's going on. A realistic winter circus camp. This sounds so much fun. Trampolines, trapeze, aerial fabrics, gymnastics, dance, and theater. So it's a good mix of fun stuff for the kids to do.
And where was that?
That's A Realistic in Ventura.
Okay.
My gym has a winter break camp going on. Gold Coast Gymnastics, California Kiddo Club up in Thousand Oaks. Robotics and Things has their winter robotics camps. And then Pleasant Valley Recreation Park District has golf, soccer, horseback riding, game design, and Lego engineering.
I don't think there's enough out there for everybody to do. You know, my kids,
these poor kids.
Yeah, when it's the holidays, you know, it's just they're off with their friends. Everybody's, you know, it's ice skating, it's bowling, there's so many fun things. But now it's like skiing season. Are you a skier?
No, we never got into it.
Yeah. Are you a skier?
No.
No. See, now my kids are.
Kids are snowboarders.
Yeah, my kids are snowboarders too. Yeah. So all of them, except for my one daughter. And I always say I'd rather just go up there and sit around the fire, make sure that's what, you know.
Me too.
Well, there's lots of great things to be doing for this holiday that's coming up, right? And are you all ready and...
Sort of. We've decorated the house and everything, and the trees are up, but the trees haven't been decorated yet. I've been waiting for my husband to be off work so we can spend the evening doing that together.
There you go. And now, does the whole family? Your kids are little now, but does the whole family do it together, or is it just you and your husband?
We do it together as a family.
And do you have the kids put their little things?
It's one of the traditions that my mom started with me, giving us an ornament each year. And so we've done that with the boys. We have a photo ornament for them each year and then something that marks something that they've enjoyed this year. Like my older son got his black belt, so he'll be getting that, providing he's not listening.
Right, yeah.
He'll be getting an ornament that commemorates the black belt along with a photo from this year.
You know, that's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. I love all the different traditions that people start with their families. You know, I guess our tradition was my parents always came over and slept at our house to open up all the presents that aren't going to be under the tree, right?
My grandparents did that too.
But yeah, they would come over and then, you know, in the morning we'd have breakfast and then they'd leave to go and do their thing. And, you know, it was kind of an all day of eating and then the kids would be playing with all their stuff.
And football.
Yeah. And we would do like the dark shadows all day long and the marathons and, you know, all of the, different things on TV, but in the parade forget about the parade, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got to watch the parade. But, you know, it's interesting, just the different traditions. Now, what do you do with Hanukkah? I know not as many things.
I think because we didn't grow up doing it. We celebrate
Hanukkah, too. But we, the thing that we do is we have a, usually light our candles, and we have a presents on the beginning of the day and presents on the end.
Well, I give the kids presents, but sometimes they're with me, sometimes they're with my ex. You know, we just kind of figure it out. But it's not a big traditional thing for
us. Now, does your whole family get together for a big Christmas dinner?
My immediate family does. And then we have other friends in the community that are alone for the holidays. They come over and we spend the Christmas Eve together.
Right.
But most of my family lives back in Kansas. So there's lots of phone and Skyping and all that kind of stuff going on Christmas Day.
That's the one good thing about Skyping now, right?
Skyping's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you could be with anybody.
Yeah.
And not be alone.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's it. Now, anyways, I think that, you know, there's a lot of options. And, the biggest thing that I see is that I never like people to be alone, right?
I know.
So
let's talk about that, about really setting the intention that no matter what, you decide that you're going to have a joyful, happy
holiday
December. Even if you're alone, even if you don't have somebody or even if you don't have family around, I mean, you can go and volunteer somewhere.
You know, I don't know why that's been really in my heart lately, is to either go and help, you know,
feed. At a soup kitchen
kitchen or something. But just to donate, you know, if you have, you know, your kids are still young, but my kids are older. It's the jackets that they don't wear anymore. And you know, somebody else will be happy with them. There's
Absolutely.
So many things that we can do. And I think that we need to remember that.
When you're
giving of yourself,
instead of feeling sorry for yourself and thinking about, oh, this is, you know, okay, so it may not be the best holiday season that you've had, you know, for whatever reason, maybe next year will be better, set the intention for, you know, you'll do it differently. But to actually just think about, what can you do to not be alone? Who can you ask, or where can you go? And, you know, there are things that you just go online and type in volunteer places, or go and be in a crowd of people, go walk on thirds, you know, go and do things that you're not sitting alone feeling miserable and by yourself.
Exactly. But you know what? And you really need to take that initiative.
You do.
Don't
have
wait
to.
For other people to
Well,
invite
it's a choice. You.
You
can have a choice to be miserable, or you can have a choice to
feel victim or not. Yes. And I think that that's something we all need to remember, because this is a really hard time for a lot of people. Of all the months of the year, it's the hardest time. So choose to be happy. Choose to be grateful. And I think with saying that, you want to look at, you know, count your blessings. That's what this is really about, is spending time with each other. And we live in a great place and we have a great life. So
there's a lot to do. There really is. You never have to be alone.
No. So, you know, anyways, we've talked a lot about some great meals and some. Now, what's your tradition for food?
Growing up, we always had like a buffet on Christmas Eve and light sandwiches and things like that. And then we would open our gifts on Christmas Eve. My husband's tradition is to open them on Christmas Day. And so we kind of honor that tradition for him on Christmas Day.
So he just opens his, or everybody does?
Now everybody waits. Okay. The kids not so happy about that. They like my tradition better. But we usually let them open at least one gift on Christmas Eve. And then that's why we have people over on Christmas Eve and do some things like
now
that.
Now, we do Christmas Eve with my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, and everybody, and which will probably be in our house this year. We kind of trade off every year. And then Christmas is with my parents, although my parents usually come with us. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just a one, like a couple days, and then my birthday's 2 days after. So
it's
all about just, you know, eating and
giving. I do love potato latkes.
Oh, there you go.
Potato latkes.
There you go. So, anyways, well, this has been really fun. Again, give out your website.
Okay. All these events and things can be found on our website at ventura-ca.parentclick.com.
All right. Sharon, give out your, if anybody needs
my
to talk to you.
My number is 818-744-5859. You can email me at sharon.savitson@gmail.com. All right.
Perfect. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And I hope that you continue to have an amazing weekend. And that if anybody wants to be a part of my show, definitely, you know, if you want to advertise, if you want to talk on here, talk about your journey, give me a call at 805-419-0008. Or you can email me at Kim Pagano at Kim@KimPaganoShow.com. That's Kim@KimPaganoShow.com. And again, if you've missed any part of my show, you can listen on my website, KimPaganoShow.com. Also, become one of our friends. I've actually been talking to so many of my listeners on there, and it's so much fun to hear, you know, what they're doing and what they enjoy. And if you are looking for something else that I'm not talking about, I will. Let me know what you want to listen, what you want to talk about. With that, I want to end all of my shows with my mommy moment. And today's is, don't say if I could, I would. Say instead, if I can, I will. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And every Saturday from 2 to 4. And I'll talk to you next week. So get your list done. Start making your life easy. Don't feel overwhelmed with this whole Christmas and holiday season. Make it fun, because today is your day. With that, I'm your host, Kim Pagano, and I'll talk to you next week.
There's no place like home.